I think there are two ways. One method is first develop concentration power, first develop the observation skill, then one can use that observation power to observe thoughts or investigate about thoughts. This is the popular way and easiest way. That's why most of meditators, they do concentration meditation, that we called concentration meditation or tranquility meditation, like awareness on the breathing meditation or walking meditation or loving kindness meditation, whatever object that we can use to develop our power of concentration and awareness. Then after some time, after some while, we can use that skill to aware about our thoughts or to investigate about our thoughts. That is the easiest and popular way. But someone can use their thoughts, their wandering mind, as a meditation object. That's the beauty of the meditation. First you can calm down your mind, then you can see that mind, you can see each thought, because mind is calm, mind is slow. So in the first technique, we try to slow down our mental movement to see it, because mind is so fast. Thoughts are moving rapidly, therefore difficult to notice, difficult to watch them. So when you practice concentration meditation, by practicing concentration meditation, we can slow down our mind. When you walk slowly, when you do things physically, slowly, when you drive a car, slowly, when you speak, slowly, you can see your mind becomes slow. And when you speak fastly, when you drive fastly, when you walk fastly, what happened to your mind? Your mind becomes fast. You can see this a relationship between your physical activities and the mental movement. This is the one way. First, we try to calm down our mind, then we can observe it. This is easy. But the disadvantage of this technique is this attitude or this view can arise automatically, that if we want to observe our mind, then mind should be calm, mind should be slow down, otherwise we cannot watch it. So we are expecting calmness, we are expecting slow mind. I think 99% of meditators, they have this expectation. Slow mind, slow movement, slow mental movement. They think that's the result of the meditation. If their mind is slow, then their meditation is successful. If it is fast, then meditation is not successful and not easy to meditate. Then we try to do so many techniques to calm down our mind, because we attach to the calmness and we are resisting to the wandering mind. See how we creating grasping and rejecting. One can meditate on their wandering mind. Maybe we cannot observe each thought. Maybe we cannot be aware from thought to thought, because it moves fastly, rapidly. That's okay. Just try to be aware about mental state. Just feel what kind of mental state that you are experiencing at the moment. Are you restlessness? Or are you happy? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you feel boring? Whatever. Learn to observe the state of mind rather than going to see each thought. Also, we can be aware about the time. Time means, am I living in the present with these thoughts, or am I living in the past with these stories, with these memories, or am I living in the future with these fantasies? Learn to know about the time. We don't have to calm mind. We don't have to full power of concentration to aware about the time, to aware about the state of mind. And the third thing that we can do is just know what is the source of this thought. Source means what is the origin. As we know, mind is thinking about what we are hearing. Mind is thinking about what we are seeing. Mind is thinking about our physical sensations, our taste that we experience, smells, and the ideas. So those are the origins of each thought. Whenever you know that your mind is talking, mind is thinking, then try to go back to the origin place. What is the original experience for this wandering mind? Maybe I heard something. I heard bird music. Or I see something. Or I experience leeches or mosquitoes. We can go back to this original experience. See, we can, at least we can see, we can do 3 exercises with this wandering mind, with this talking mind. The first thing is to be aware about the state of mind. The second thing is to know about the time, present, past, or the future. The third thing, the original experience, original sensual experience. So we can observe and investigate about our mind directly without using any meditation technique or meditation object. Buddhism says mind is the best meditation object. There is no other meditation object like mind. When we are learning to meditate on the thoughts, on the mind, in this way, mind becomes settled down by itself, without asking, without forcing, and without controlling. When you know about the state of mind, just see, just do your own experiment. Just know what is the state of mind that you are experiencing. Maybe anger. Just know that there is anger. Try to know about it. Oh, anger is there. Now mind is angry. When you become aware about it, then you can see your mind is detaching from the anger slowly. Because you are become an observer. You are become an observer rather than become an angry one. And when you know about the time, oh, I am living in the past with these previous experiences. When you know that, knowing helps you to come back to the present moment. And if you know that you are living in the future with these stories and fantasies, just try to awake. Then you can experience the present moment immediately. When you experience the present moment, then you are free from those past incidents and future fantasies. Mind becomes calm again. And when you are lost in the thoughts and you don't know what is thinking and why mind is thinking in this way, just try to go back to the original experience. The original sound, the original vision, the original sensation or the idea. You don't have to ask to stop. You don't want to make effort to stop your mind. Just try to go back to the original experience. Try to discover mind stop by itself. So you can watch, you can observe and investigate about your mind by practicing concentration meditation and by observing and investigating thoughts. You can do both. Try to do your own experiment.
Should we contemplate on small parts and emptiness?
You are asking a technique or method. to
not only the technique, but the way how to approach the people, it is very difficult to understand this idea of self or non-self, and also the emptiness.
So why are you worried about it? Who makes this target? Who asks you to do this difficult task?
I love the gate, the Nibbana.
Empty from what? If we say emptiness, then we think there is something called emptiness. Buddhism use the word empty, empty from hatred. Just see, is your mind empty, empty from hatred, or empty from desires, or empty from illusion? If there is no hatred, or no desire, or no illusion, any illusion in your mind, then your mind is empty. Then whatever you are experiencing, it doesn't affect you because you are not resisting to it, you are not trying to grasp it, because your mind is free, empty, then you are not being disturbed, then nobody can disturb you, because these are the raw materials for all the disturbances. So full of disturbances, we are not empty. Mind is not empty. Selfless. I don't think that selfless is the right word or right translation. There is a body and there is a mind. We cannot say no body or no mind. Therefore, we have to experience many physical sensations and movements because of the body. And we have to experience some mental states because of the mind. That's the reality. When we experience something physical or psychological, then this very idea comes. What is this very idea? Oh, my anger, my sleepiness, my tiredness, my loneliness, my boredom. Can you see the difference between the anger and my anger, happiness and my happiness, thirsty and my thirsty, sleepiness and my sleepiness? What's the difference? Is there any difference? Or just we experience something, sleepiness or thirsty or loneliness or happiness? And see, what is the difference between your thirsty and others' thirsty? Is there any difference? Is there any difference between men and women? Locals and foreigners? Is there any difference between them? Buddhist and non-Buddhist? Self or the image of the self is coming from those concepts. I am a man, I am a woman, I am Sri Lankan, I am British, I am German, I am a good person, I am a bad person, I am young, I am old, I am a meditator. All are concepts. So self made by these concepts. That's why we, most of the time, we are disappointing. If somebody challenged to these concepts, we are not comfortable, we are not happy. If somebody says you are not a good person, we are not happy to hear those things, because we think I am a good person. So myself, I made myself out of these ideas, these concepts. I get angry if somebody says that I am an ugly person, because I think I am a beautiful one or handsome one. So see how myself, I made myself out of these concepts. That's okay, we need concepts. Without concepts, we cannot live, we cannot live in the society without concepts. But the problem is, we forget all our concepts. We forget it. We think they are real. These are the real, my real nature. We forget that all are mind-made concepts. That's why Lord Buddha asked us to analyze ourselves step by step. Like if you want to know what is the essence of the onion, fruit of onion, you can analyze it. It's heavy, and if you hit somebody from this onion, I think they may hurt. So you want to know what is this the essence of this onion. You can see, you can remove the out layer, the out skin, then you can see another skin, another layer. So you have to remove it to see what is the inside of this onion, the essence of the onion. So you can remove layer by layer, skin by skin, and finally when you remove the last skin, the last, the final layer, nothing, no essence, empty, can see empty, emptiness. So what happened to the onion, the fruit of onion, what happened? Nothing happened, nobody take it. What is the onion? Collection of layers, collection of skins. So Buddhism says everything is like that. Everything. Everything made out of so many other things. You, me, and everything. All of us are here because of so many external layers. So everything is selfless. This alarm clock, this MP3 player, everything, this meditation hall, everything. We use this name, meditation hall. If somebody remove this roof, then there is no meditation hall. If there is no wall, no meditation hall. if there is no foundation, no meditation hall. But we don't say meditation hall to the roof, to the wall, or to the foundation. It's a concept. Meditation hall is a concept. Who made this concept? Mind made this concept. So if you know, whatever you are thinking about yourself is a concept, or whatever you are thinking about others are concepts. If you know about it, then you can be relaxed. Because we have our own concept, and others, they have their own concept. It's very interesting thing that the one psychologist said, when the two persons meet, there is six people. When two persons meet, then six people arise. You can see how six come. How? Well, they are. One is thinking about other person, or this person. The next one is like this. Good person, bad person, nice person, handsome, beautiful, ugly, educated, or wise, whatever. And other person thinks about the first person too. The first person thinks about the second person, and the second person thinks about the first person. So then two people. And the first person thinks about the first person. I am like this. And second person two, then four, and then the real people, real person. Nobody knows who am I, who is here really. We don't know, but we think that we know. I think that I know about me, and you think you know about yourself. But when you ask this question, who is sitting here? Who is talking and who is listening? Just ask this question and see, can you answer to this question easily? Can your mind answer to this question? Just ask your mind. Do you know who am I? Do you know who is here? Do you know who wants to meditate? You may experience that mind cannot answer to this question easily, because mind never thinks about it. Why? Why mind didn't think about it? Because mind thinks the mind knows about it. What is the purpose to think? What is the purpose to investigate if mind knows about it? That's the illusion. That's the Buddhism says great illusion. We don't know about ourselves. That's the ignorance. If you know that you don't know about yourself, then you know. That's the beginning of the wisdom. That's the door of wisdom. To know about your unknownness. But if we think that we know, then we cannot learn, then we cannot see. You can ask this question from yourself. Who is here, or what is here? Whenever you experience anything, you can just ask, who is experiencing? who is experiencing happiness, who is experiencing calmness. We can simply ask this question. Who is angry? Just ask this question rather than going to fight or control your anger. Just put this question. Who is angry? Who is suffering? Learn to ask this question consciously, not habitually or not mechanically or not verbally. Try to raise this question deeply. This is the one way, and the other way is we can analyze, like we are analyzing fruit of onion. Just try to analyze, how do I introduce myself? We say I am Upul, and you may say your name. That's the very popular way to introduce ourselves. Very mechanical way, very habitual way. And then we think, oh, I introduced myself, and they introduced themselves. I know them. He is John and she is Margaret and I am Upul. Oh, we know each other. Do we know each other? Just we know the name. That's all. You can ask, am I Upul? Or are you John? Or are you Margaret? Just ask this question. Then you can see how silly. But names are important. Concepts are important to live in the society. If you are alone, just imagine, if you are alone, we don't need so many concepts. We don't need nationality. We don't need that I am young or old or man or woman. No need those concepts if you are alone. So we can go step by step. How do we introduce ourselves? First we say name, and second we try to say our occupation or what we are doing. I am a student, or I am a teacher, or I am a doctor or driver or whatever. Then we think, oh, I introduced myself. And then we think, I know he's a teacher. Do we know about himself? No, we don't know. We just know about his job. That's all. We know just about his name. That's all. So we can go step by step, deeper and deeper in this way. This is very interesting and important meditation that we can do. When you have a free time, please do it. Investigate about yourself, analyze yourself. If you know the name is not yourself, try to remove it, like you are removing a layer, skin of onion. And see what is next, your job, your nationality, your age. We can go step by step, slowly. Can we do it? Well, it's a very good question, very practical question. Who is directing yourself? Who is driving yourself? Your mind. Our mind is directing and driving ourselves from there to here and here to somewhere else. In this life, you can just see, why are we here? Why are you here? Just see. Because your mind. Because of your mind. Because your mind asked you to come here to meditate. Your mind says meditation is nice thing, important thing. Please meditate. See, your mind is the driver, the pilot. So mind brings us from there to here and here to somewhere else in this life. We can see this phenomena. So if there is some journey after the death, I think same thing will remain. Mind is carry on. Mind is taking us from here to there, to wherever. The second part of your question is, this very interesting thing. Mind always wants to go somewhere which is very familiar to the mind. If your mind is concerning about silence, then if you can choose, always you are choosing silence place. If your mind is familiar to cleanness, purity, whenever mind has a choice, mind always choose clean and pure places. You can see this phenomena in your life, in your present life. If the mind is not caring about peace, silence, then that type of mind is not choosing peaceful places or clean places, because those concepts are strange for the mind. Mind doesn't know about it. Then how do mind choose it? So that's why we have to practice and experience these spiritual qualities in this life. Then we can experience peace in this life, and we can enjoy peace in this life. Then we know what is peace, the importance of the peace. Then it becomes, this is the important thing, then this experience becomes part of the mind. The peace becomes part of your mind. Then it will be not something external quality. It becomes your inner quality. It becomes your nature. Until that, we have to say we are experiencing peace sometimes. Sometimes we are experiencing tranquility. When we practice more and more, it becomes our nature. Then we are the tranquility, we are the peace, we are the silence. That's the beauty of the practice. Then either you can live peacefully. When you die, you can die peacefully. And if you go somewhere, you can go peacefully, because you are the peace. God is stillness and you are the blissfulness. You can see this miracle in this life. When you have peacefulness in your mind, you can experience peace wherever you go. If there is no peace inside, then wherever you go, no peace. If happiness is there, wherever you go, you can experience some amount of happiness. Same thing happens in this life, and it may happen in next life. Some people say this life is the monitor of next life, the indicator of next life. So we don't have to worry about next life. So if all external things are maya or an illusion, so you don't have to worry about that type of teachers. They are illusions too. Everything is depending on our point of view. Everything. We can think about some simple examples. Sometimes we say, "Oh, beautiful flower." We think that beauty is inside the flower, or it is within flower. But can you see that beauty each time that you are watching this flower? Do you experience that beauty in each time that you are looking this flower, looking at this flower? No. And the other thing is everybody experiencing, is everybody saying, "Ah, beautiful flower?" No. To somebody, yes. To another people, no. They say, "Oh no, what an ugly flower." Everything is like that. Coldness, warmness, taste, sweetness, bitterness, everything like that. All are mental preparation, mental projection. Oh, they are nice people. To whom? You can just ask this question, to whom? It's relative thing. Yes, it is a beautiful flower. To whom? To me? or to somebody else. This is very, very important thing to know to whom. Yeah, this is called to me, but to another person not called. Oh, beautiful night, to whom? To somebody else, not to me. This is the reality. Everything is mental projection. For that moment, only for that moment and only for that particular person, it is changing from person to person and it is changing from moment to moment. There is no eternal beauty, there is no eternal tasty, there is no eternal goodness or badness. This is something we can experience, this is something we can understand. One of my friend, he's an American meditator, he told me in his wedding, at the day of his wedding day, he see his wife is the most beautiful girl and his wife is the most ugly person at the day of divorce. When he divorced his wife, no beauty, he cannot see any beauty. What happened to the beauty if it is real? We cannot say ugly is the reality, beauty is the Maya. No, all are Maya. All are mental preparations, mental formations. Mind is formative. So if you know about it, then you are not depending on these mental formations. You can say, it is beautiful to me. Or this is very tasty to me. If somebody says no, no argument. What is the purpose to argue? Because we are taking seriously our mental condition, our mental reflection. So if somebody says everything is Maya, or if somebody says everything is real, there is no argument about it because it depends on their point of view. No need to make conflict. This is another beautiful meditation that we can do. You can choose and one object, maybe a flower, and try to see what is it. Just see what is your mind is saying about this flower. Maybe mind says beautiful flower. Just know about your mental response about this flower. Maybe you can write down. And maybe after a little while you can ask again. Dear mind, how do you feel it? How do you see it? Maybe then no beauty, mind says something else. You can ask this question again and again. And this is the one way. And another way is, our second way is, if mind says this is beautiful flower, you can ask, dear mind, can you see it as an ugly flower? Just ask this question and see what happened to your mind. Then mind is starting to see the ugliness. This is the way. This is the way to influence. So people can influence about others, about the climate, about the books, about the movies, and about the food. All the advertisements are doing these things. We don't know about it, and there is no interest about it. But then suddenly somebody says, there is nice movie. Then the movie becomes nice to me. So you can do it consciously to your mind. Can I see this thing in a nice way? Can I see this thing in a peaceful way? You can change your point of view. You can go around this flower, around whatever object in 360 degrees. You can go. And you can see same thing in many, many different ways, in many, many different forms. Then this question comes by itself. What is the real nature? What is the reality? You can say there is no reality or all are reality. Because when you do this meditation or when you do this exercise, to see one thing from many, many different angles, consciously, mindfully, then you are able to see things just as they are, without projecting anything to it, without projecting beauty or ugly, tasty or bitter, nothing, without projecting anything. So the benefit of this understanding is we are reacting to our own projection. If your mind says this is beautiful, then we want it. We want to hear it again, we want to see it again, and we want to experience it again, because your mind says it is beautiful. If your mind says it is ugly, bitter and negative and unpleasant, then we don't want it again. We try to push them away, we try to deny it, we try to repress them. See, our all reactions based on our mental projections, our mental labels, our all positive reactions and negative reactions. Normally, mind is projecting all the time. That is the habit of the mind. That is the way the conditioned. But by practicing mindfulness, you can decondition it. you can see things in a fresh way, in a new way. Otherwise we are looking very, very old world. We are looking people, we are eating food, we are experiencing everything thousand of times, same thing. That's why we become fed up easily. This meditation helps us to refresh our life, refresh the world. And when you know this mental projection, the phenomena of mental projection, then you are able to not to project anything. You can switch on and switch off your own projector. It comes to your hand. When you want to project something, you can project. When you don't want to project anything, you can just switch off your mental projector. Then you see things just as they are. No reactions. No arguments. No conflict. Yeah, I am expecting this question. This is very, very natural. You are right, you are totally right. The pressure or happiness comes from our own labels. We can enjoy food which is tasty, which is sweet. We can enjoy sceneries which is beautiful. That's true. We can enjoy people who are nice, who are good. That's very true. If we can live with only good things, then no problem. If we can live with only good people, if we can eat only tasty food, if we can experience only pleasant things, then there is no problem. No space for the unhappiness or unpleasantness or the problem, because we are living in a such a heaven, in a such a paradise. But that is not the reality. When we say they are good, that automatically mind says, oh, those are bad. We cannot say only good, we cannot say only beautiful, we cannot say only tasty, only positive. That is the disadvantage of this judging mind. Then we can experience love, meantime we have to experience hatred. Happiness and unhappiness. We don't want it, but no choice. We can't say no. So we cannot experience only pleasurable things with this conditioned mind. We have to accept it. And the other thing is, this is I think a much important thing, why we are expecting, why we are asking pleasurable experiences. Why? What is the reason? Because lack of pleasure, because of inner bitterness. That's why we are asking external sweetness. When there is, when we cannot find any interesting book, any interesting person to speak, just see what happens to ourselves. When we are totally alone, when we have to stay with ourselves fully, what happens to our mind? Is that experience pleasurable? Is that experience joyful? Most of the time, no. We are looking external pleasures to escape our own bitterness. We can escape for a temporary period. But whenever that external sweetness has gone disappearing, the inner nature comes back. It comes back. So it comes back again and again. We cannot destroy it. In this meditation, we are going to understand about it. We are going to familiar with ourselves, with our nature. When you meditate, you can see when you meditate, you feel happy. Just you feel happy. You cannot see the reason why I am happy. Not because of what you are looking, not because of what you are hearing, not because of what you are eating or smelling, no, or thinking, no. Just you experience happiness. Just you experience joy and bliss. When you meditate more and more, as I told earlier, these things, happiness, joy and blissfulness, becomes your own nature. When you have happiness in your own pocket, you don't want to go anywhere. Then you are not depending on external pleasures. Because it's already here. It's in your home. That happiness, that joy, that blissfulness is not becoming or is not changing into unhappiness, into pain, into suffering, because it is not depending on anything. If our happiness is depending on somebody else, they are changing, people are changing. We cannot stop them. So what happens to our happiness when the person is changing? We are losing our happiness. That's okay. But then happiness becomes unhappiness, love becomes anger, security becomes fear. But when you experience this inner happiness, this inner joy, whenever you experience it, it is happiness, it is joy. But we may not experience it sometimes. But whenever we go inside, whenever we experience it, it is happiness. It comes as a happiness each time. We can be silent little while before we go to bed. Now. Let your body to experience peace and stillness. Let your mind to experience peace while your body is feeling peace. Everybody is experiencing peace through on body and through on mind. We are experiencing same peace and same stillness and same silence. Learn to share this peacefulness with whoever comes to your mind.